How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. This is my second go around here. New group of folks. So I was just at a service in North Dakota. They did this great church. They did two services. He said, now we always do a mirror service, like everything in the second service is identical word for word to the first. So will you be able to mirror the service? I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean. I mean, I'm not saying that that's wrong that they mirror the service. What they wanted is everybody on the same page. But I don't know how I could possibly say what I said this morning because I didn't have any of it laid out. So I just kind of talked. So maybe if we go the same direction, we might come out a different way. But it was just a funny thought to me. He asked me if I was going to mirror my service. And so this other person came up and said, hey, we always do a mirror service. That was their phrase, a mirror service. He says, are you going to do a mirror service this morning? Because if you are, I'll just roll out since I already heard you. And I said, you might want to stay. I don't know if I ever said the exact same thing twice. That sugar thing, man. Do you feel the room when he said, bring your sugar to the, we've been like, sugar's like, you don't eat sugar. That's what they tell you. You don't eat sugar. Now I actually eat some sugar, but I just was laughing. I thought somebody's setting somebody up, thinks they're doing their love to society. I think they're going to take all that sugar and go put it in a ditch somewhere and bury it or something. So I don't know if you want to bring sugar. It's just when they say bring your sugar, the room gets funny. Did you notice? I don't know. Bring roast beef or something. Blame it on me. I'm sorry, Pastor. He's probably watching, just shaking his head. Well, last service, Matt messed me all up. Because he came up here and talked about believing, and he said, you either believe or you don't. And it struck me. I love when people talk it straight like that. See, we did say this last service. You got to understand that your life lived reveals what you understand and what you believe. Like the way you live your life reveals where you live it from. The Bible says that people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, I know we heard growing up our whole lives, what you don't know won't hurt you. But that's a lie. What you don't know is destroying you, according to the Bible. And it also says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Isn't it amazing that the Bible doesn't say, in all you're getting, get blessing? In all you're getting, get more finances. I mean, that would be great. That's fine. It's not wrong to get more finances. But the Bible doesn't say, in all you're getting, get some material thing. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. See, what we don't know is actually destroying us. And the more that we see and the clearer we see, the more we'll live our life in the truth of what we're here for. It's just simple. This thing is simple. The eye, Matthew 6, 22, Luke 11, 34, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is single, not multiple choice, wide view lens, yeah, but, well, if it's single, live through truth, live through him, it says your whole body is flooded with light. There's no comma there in parentheses, unless, of course, you're faced with many current challenges and issues. Under no circumstances does Scripture ever reveal that circumstances should dictate your expression and who you are in life. The way life is going has nothing to do with who you are and how you are, according to the Word of God. See, if that's true, then we just always need things to go our way to be okay. So that's why we need to understand these things. Like when you talk to a person and ask them how they're doing, what do they usually tell you? They usually tell you their two biggest challenges and say, and throw in a keep me in prayer. And they're sincere. Hey, how you doing, man? Well, it's been a tough ride. I mean, I've been in this, but hey, just keep me in prayer. I mean, I'm hanging in there. And what that reveals is that we're only doing as good as things are going and working out the way we're hoping. That's how we're doing. And I want you to understand something, that the gospel is way different than that. The reason we're singing all these songs, here's what was going through my heart over there. When I'm sitting there and we're singing all these songs, I'm going, man, this is amazing. Like, we're singing about who God is. You realize that, right? There's some powerful lyrics in the songs that are being written today. You get that, too. Like, aren't the songs different than they were 10 years ago? Like, the songs are, like, really, really good. Like, I'm like, whoa. It's like somebody's seeing something to write what they're writing. So we got to make sure we don't get tricked into just singing because it's worship time. It's not song service. It's not a sing-along. It's a revelation. You could actually, the songs that are being sung today, you could get them songs. We could just cheer and go home. Like some of these songs, you'd be like, yeah, I get it. See, because this whole time that we gather, Hebrews says the whole time, it's not because we're doing church. It's not your homage to God. It's not because, well, the Bible says we're supposed to go to church. No, we assemble ourselves together with a reason. We're going to stay focused, stay clear, stay calculated. We're going to stir one another in love and good works. That means we're not going to live selfish. We're not going to be discouraged. We're not going to be frustrated. We're not going to have issues. We don't got chips on our shoulders. We're stirred in love and good works. We're not leaving here in faith that things go our way. We're leaving here looking more like him. So when things unfold, we have a response. Are you with me? The whole purpose of Christianity is shining and making him known and revealing Christ through your life. The whole purpose of Christianity, oh, I might get in trouble for this. The whole purpose of Christianity is not praying a prayer so you go to heaven someday or having a destination to land when the bell rings. The purpose of heaven is to get out of the world but still be in the world but not of the world. You live from a different place than you lived before. The reason a lot of people don't have continuing joy, they're not living from that place. They see their need for a Savior. They've confessed their sins. They believe they've received forgiveness of their sins, and I'm sure they have because he's loving and merciful. But they don't understand the why behind Christ in them. Christ isn't in you so everything goes your way. Christ is in you so you look like him in the midst of it all. And if we miss that, we're going to let life decide who we are and how we are instead of the one that gave life and lives inside of us. It's very important because I'm not saying this is you and I'm not saying this because it's in the room. I've pastored for a while. I've been in leadership for a while and I've traveled and preached now for a long time. There's a lot of discouraged people that go to church. Worship teams have to plow the ground sometime and stir the atmosphere to try to get participation. Worship people, am I telling the truth? Yeah, they're like, yeah. They were like, yes, sir. But you perceive it, don't you? So this is an intro sometime to worship. Come on, I know we all been, you know, the world and things, just shake it off now, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, you should never have to shake none of that off. You're not waking up with that mentality. You're not a Klingon. You're not like waking up to carry baggage. Like, listen, if you wake up every day and people owe you, and then people are probably failing you, and you'll be the best that people do you. I'd rather not live that cheap. I'd rather wake up and live a lot more valuable. I'd rather wake up and live more like him. Like the way he received me, I'll receive you. Come on, he didn't judge a book by the cover. You'd have looked at my life when I wasn't saved. You'd have saw nothing valuable. He looked at my life when I was created, and he said, that's worth paying for. So he came and bought me out. Now, he didn't buy me out so I pray a prayer and have a destination someday when I die. He bought me out to put that new life inside of me so I could put off the old and put on the new and be a new creation. It's called a Christian. It's nothing new on the earth. It's been around for a while. Christianity, little Christ-like one. It's not, yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins and my name is in the book called life. Yes, I'm in. I'm saved. Saved is healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound. It's a place you live from, not a place you're heading to. Are you guys good? Some of you are looking at me funny. They always said the second service is the wilder service. You haven't proved it yet. I'm just having fun with you. See, I'm just, can you tell? I'm just not intimidated by anything anyway. You guys could be mad at me. You're not, but you could be. It doesn't change the gospel. Did you ever notice that your attitude doesn't change a thing about truth? You still got the Bible looking right back in your face. You can cop all the attitude you want. Jesus is still Lord. You might think you are for a delusional moment, but he's still king. See, you might live unlovely, but he loves you. Why? Because he loves what he created you to be. And he knows there's a higher truth about your life if you'll ever see it and yield yourself to it. And love doesn't fail. It stays in position for that day to come to pass. What we've done is we've taken each other personal. We live with expectations. We're on thin ice most of the time because when we get a friendship, it has the ability to make us, but it runs the risk of breaking us. We get in relationships with a young man or a young woman in our life, and we're like starry-eyed, gushy in love. But at the same time, that person person has the ability to shatter our life. I honestly believe at this point in my life, I can say this is a fair statement. It's a tragic one, but a fair one. There's been more damage done through the words "I love you" than blessing. And a lot of our stories hinge around broken stuff and hurt stuff and past stuff and history of what did and what didn't, how they and why they, and I thought and they, and all of a sudden we're formed by life instead of the giver of it. The reason there's more hurt in the phrase "I love you" than there's been blessing is because "I love you" doesn't come from the place of love. It comes from the place of need. And love doesn't have need in it. Thank you. I appreciate that encouragement, brother, because I was waiting. I knew that coin was going to drop somewhere. Thank you. Come on, most of the time we say "I love you," it's camouflaged with "I need you." That's why there's so much heartbreak in relationships. That's why there's hurt within churches. Guys, I'm saying this as serious as I can, but at the same time not trying to be overwhelming. That stuff reveals we don't totally understand why he came. When that stuff's just normal and permissible and expected, that's alarming. That should alarm us that we really don't totally understand what he's up to and what he paid for. Because he did not pay for me to let my preferences be Lord in my life and try to rule you into what I desire. My preferences are not Lord. Jesus is. And I've seen too much of this among us. And it reveals that we don't totally understand why he came, that there's a place for us to surrender and become love and to not judge a book by the cover, but judge in righteous judgment and see what a man's created for, not what he's expressing. And actually believe there's a higher potential and capacity to his life if he'd ever see and understand. So rather than get mad at him, hurt by him, frustrated, or avoid him, you can actually pray for him from a sincere heart, because you know in your heart he's so much more if he sees. Now that's what God did for you and me. And I know there's a lot of things said about the Lord, and there's people, and it's just pride. It's opinion. It's just, you say, well, that sounds like pride, like you have the go. I do have the go on God. I have the in on God. You find God through his son. And if you look anywhere else, you will have a wrong view of God. When you see Jesus, you have already seen the Father. So if you try to define God through any other tragedy, circumstance, life, situation, you will be deceived. You find God through his son. And the fact that he gave his son and so loved the world that he sent his son is an amazing thing, because what he was doing by doing that is wasn't only paying a price for us to get saved and redeemed and restored. He was manifesting the truth about himself through that same son. So God is no longer a mystery to me. Now I see through the son how he has seen me all along. That's amazing to me. Yeah, I have to calm down to express it. No, seriously, because people don't relate to joy. They think they have to figure it out. Is that real? Is that just his thing? Is that his preaching thing? Because he needs to get real. He needs to, you know, he needs to relate. Relate to what? Come on. There's a mentality that you can't even be okay in the church. Like, if you're just always okay, something's wrong with that. You got to get that brother alone when ain't nobody's looking and look him in the corner him. Now, okay, brother, how are you really doing? Look, ain't nobody around. Ain't nobody, just break it, man. Bear it down, man, because I know you walking in. Something got to be wrong. How you doing? No, I'm fine. Oh. And there's actually a mentality that you can't be okay all the time. I bet you can if you wake up the right way. I bet if the day doesn't change the way you go to bed, you'll wake up the same way the next day. And I bet if the day doesn't have the power to change your mind by the time you go to bed, you'll wake up the same the next day. And I bet all of a sudden you'll find that you have a new perspective and a single eye, and there's new life through Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden life's not deciding who you are and how you are, because the giver of it put a whole new thing in you. That's what's been wrong with me for 25 years now. You can see it's on me. It's a problem. I have to think about sometimes just not... People just meet me. They just pass by. People, they're on airplanes. They look at me because they say, "How you doing?" And I don't just say, "Oh, I'm doing good, man. Hanging in there, man. Just hanging in there, man. You know, how you doing, man? Well, just hoping my flight's on time. Just hoping we make my connection. You ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to be rhetorical. I'm not going to, yeah, okay, man. That's like a human pool cord doll. How are you doing, man?" And if they don't pull it again, I will, because now I'm going. I just sat on a plane just last week with a man my age, cried the whole flight. Just cried the whole flight. I love it. I'm not trying to make him cry, but I have something to say and give him. I'm not overwhelmed. I see him. He's beside me. I see him. I'm not so caught up with me that I don't even know he's there. I actually see him. He started it anyway. He started it. He asked me questions. That's trouble. Don't ask me questions if you don't want an answer. Don't ask me, "How are you doing?" if you don't want me to tell you. I go through security. I do it. I was just on this last flight. I got up there. She said, "How are you doing today?" I said, "Ma'am, I'm amazing today." She said, "Whoa." They're like, "That's a strange answer." I had one guy say, "Whoa, that's not your normal response." I preached to them. I might not see them ever again. I got one little moment. There's people pushing behind me. The belt's moving. It's just Holy Ghost drive-bys. So what are you? How you doing, man? Well, I'm doing amazing. Well, that's not a normal answer. Well, I'll tell you why, sir. And you're pushing. I'll tell you, my whole life, I woke up and thought about me, myself, how things were going to go for me and work for me. Jesus changed everything, pal. He got me free from me so I can think more about him and others. It's the most powerful thing I've ever run into. It's amazing. And now I'm going through and he's going. And he might think, well, that guy's out of his mind. But he might think, that guy's out of my mind. So why don't you sow the seed and take a chance? It sure beats being grumpy. Sure beats being frustrated. Still, sure beats having a fallout with your spouse and carrying that thing wafting over you all day. That's like an onion or something in your pocket. Did you ever eat a sandwich and it had onion in it, and then you can feel it and you taste it, you burp it up, and you're like, little, you're driving, you're like, and you're like, ooh. That thing's worse than passing gas sometimes. Well, that's what it's like when you don't have a healthy relationship with God and people. That thing gets on you, and then all of a sudden, people you don't even have any issue with think you do because of the way you come across. And all of a sudden, you're letting everything decide you but the truth. And he's the great potter, and you're being fashioned by things that are built on lies. Now, I refuse to live that way. I'm not going to live that way. You're not going to catch me that way. I've been living this way 25 years. It ain't going to sneak up on me. It's so... My coworkers used to say, "You're like you're brainwashed." My coworkers used to say that to me years ago. I haven't been in full-time employment like that, like a secular job, for a long, long time. But my fellow workers saw that way back then. They said, "It's like you're brainwashed." And I would have fun with them. I'd say, "My brain has been thoroughly washed." And I'd look at them and they'd be like, "Whoa." Because they're coming into work, you know, just bags of flesh, man. Mad they gotta work, grindstone, earn a living. Are you kidding? I'm privileged with life. The Spirit of God lives in me. I've been forgiven of everything I've ever done. I'm not gonna die. I didn't wake up just to live for this day. I'm living for that day. My life now is fueled by faith. I have a whole lot different gas running the motor. All of a sudden, I'm not self-centered, I'm not self-conscious, I ain't in the fear of man, I ain't insecure, wondering what you think. I don't need you to say anything nice to be okay, I'm not passing any tests. You see how that can make you? Don't be afraid it'll make you like this. Don't back off now, don't back off now. You don't have to be like this, just be the best you. Be consistent, walk in truth. Show mercy, make peace, walk in love. Nobody owes you anything. Get that out of your mind. Man, if God held you to some kind of standard, did you owe him something? What are you paying back? If he's got you to make up for everything you've ever done wrong, where do you start? See, we do that to each other. We say, well, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. Come on. All of a sudden you say you forgive, but 2 years later, you're still bringing up the insecurity. You're still making mention of it at the end of a line. You're still throwing it out there to let the person know what they did to you. Man, if God did that to us, we're shattered. Some of us do it to ourselves because we haven't even forgiven ourselves. Some of us stay in regret and guilt and shame and condemnation, and he paid a price to get you out of that and get you into new life. Well, if he wants to see us that way and wants us to see us that way, we probably ought to see each other that way. Yeah? I'm going to live there. You can try to figure me out all you want. I read in scripture that one day when he appears, I'm going to appear with him, and then people are going to go, oh, now I get it. They were together the whole time. It's just so amazing. Being a Christian is amazing. It's not a cult. It's not a sect. It's a way of living. It's new life through Jesus Christ. I'm out of the world, but I'm still in the world. I'm just not of the world. That doesn't make me holier than thou and self-righteous. It just means I don't live from the same place that I was living from before. It means the why behind my life has changed. There's a different motive in me. There's a different thing that makes me tick now. I don't wake up to be loved by you. That would be called disappointment if you're not doing well. Come on, if I'm finding my identity through you, I'm only as good as you're doing me. If I find my encouragement through you, I'm only as encouraged as you're encouraging me. And then if I'm not encouraged, it has to be your fault because you're supposed to encourage me. So when do I ever take accountability? When do I ever get confronted? When do I ever get convicted? All of a sudden I have an alibi and I have justifications for not being like Christ. Oh, I'm not buying into that. I've been bought with a way, way greater price than to sell that cheap. That stuff used to work when I didn't see, when I was blind, when I was self-centered like all of us were. What you got to make sure is now that you're in Christ, you don't stay self-centered. You got to make sure you deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow him. It ain't about singing to him. It's about following him. Because when you're following him, then it's way more than a song. There's so much worship in it. There's so much celebration in it. There's so much honor in it when you're following him. And he'll slip you to your knees in a second. Put tears in your eyes when nobody's looking. Why? Because you've tasted and you see he's good. And you're free. You're finally free. What you realize is you're free from the old way. You're free from the old motive. You're free from yourself. Man, if you're free from you, you're free from everybody. Now you can finally just be. And then what people see is what they get. And we think that's an enigma in the body of Christ. One of the greatest compliments I get. You know what I like about you? You're so real. I'm like, what are you? Now, I don't say that, but it does cross my mind. It scares me. Not in a sense, a fear sense, but it concerns me. There's a better selection of word for the word police so they don't get me on that. Shouldn't have fear, brother. It concerns me that I get complimented for being real. That means we've been surrounded by what we think are facade and we don't think we're real. So I get complimented for being real. I've watched you a long time. I've been around ever since I've known you. You've been this way. Man, that just blesses me. You're just for real. What I really respect about you is like, you're the real deal, dude. Okay. I don't think that's the greatest compliment. That concerns me that stands out. That should be normal. If the pure in heart see God, shouldn't we all be pursuing pure? So if we bump into pure, should it be an enigma? I mean, isn't it what we all are? Aren't we all Christians? If I would ask you if you're a Christian, most people would say yes in the room. There might be a few that haven't given their life to Jesus in this room. But if I said, how many are Christian? I'd get a lot of hands. Well, what that means is you denied yourself. Christ is in you. You're not a Christian for you, your benefit, your well-being. You're not a Christian so he protects you and gives you breakthrough and provides for you. You're a Christian so the old man can die and the new man can live. And in the midst of life, you shine and look like he would if he was in your shoes. That's a Christian. Anything else is what we made up in our beneficial preaching that fails to transform and allow Christians to legitimize discouragement. There are a lot of discouraged people that go to church. I said that, didn't I? A lot of people go to church discouraged. Why? Self-focused. Life hasn't worked the way they're hoping. Now their view of God is even skewed, so they can't get close to him and have intimacy with him. All of a sudden, now they're even questioning where God is and who God is. We sing a song, "He never failed me yet," and they're sure he has. Because the prayer didn't get answered or somebody died. And all of a sudden, life is speaking louder than truth. And that's a problem because it's truth that makes you free. So if life becomes your truth, there's no freedom in it because it's not truth at all. See, that's what's wrong with me for all these years. If we compliment anything, we ought to compliment the truth is the same. And love never fails. And God has never changed his mind. So if he's the Ancient of Days, I bet he's stayed pretty consistent in the last 25 years of my life. He probably hasn't changed. If he's the Rock of Ages, if there's no turning or shifting of shadow for generations upon generations, I bet in my 25 year span of Christianity, he's been faithful. I pointed to that over there this morning on the wall. Believe. What you believe is important. The motive you live from is extremely important. The why behind your life will determine what you convey and express in your life. And when you stand before the Lord in that day, it won't be, did you pray a prayer one day and get water baptized? What you believed will be realized by the way you lived your life. There's just no other plainer way to put it. Somebody ought to talk plain about it. If we pray a prayer just to go to heaven, if we're gaining heaven and shunning hell, then it's just all about what we get from him instead of what we become because of him. What we get from him will never change the earth. What we become because of him is what changes the earth. If all we do is be a Christian for gain, then how can we let our light so shine before men unless we just preach that they can gain from him? And then when they don't gain, they're in question and we're either condemned or need to get more faith and they're confused. And I've met a lot of Christians that have a quandary in their life. And they kind of like connect their circumstances to who God is and ultimately evaluate their life through all that. And even the value of their life. I just had a friend kind of in jest, not a sinful jest way, just in jest imply something. He had talked to me the other day and he said, "I don't know, brother, I must have some unrepented sin in my life. I need to go do some searching." And I know him, he was just joking because of the stuff we talk about. So he was just saying that to probably get a rise out of me or get me to preach or something. But isn't that how we're tending to think a lot? Isn't that the picture we've painted of God? That if everything's going wrong, I must have opened a door. Wonder if everything's just going wrong because everything's just going wrong. Why do you let everything going wrong change what's right? I could be pressed with four circumstances on every side. Everyone coming from a different angle. It doesn't change why I woke up this morning. It doesn't change truth. It doesn't change who I'm empowered to be in him. I might still have to face that. I still have a response. It still creates something in my life that I have to address. I'm not in denial. I'm not like, hey, whatever. It's real, but it should never become me. I'm never what I'm going through. I always have to be a product of what he went through. That's living in Christ. Are you with me? It's very important, people. Or if not, slowly you develop a language and a justification that empowers you to stay wherever it is you are. And if it's not producing life, if it's not shining light, then we're deceived. If Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," and let your light so shine before men that what he paid for is to turn you on. So he paid to flip the switch. It says, nobody having lit a lamp, Marilyn, no one having lit a lamp puts a bushel over it. My buddy Todd says, there's too many basket-headed Christians. Here's the problem. If you're a Christian for you, I said this morning and it got me really deep and intense. It doesn't feel that dramatic right now. That's good. I was going bananas this morning with this one. It hit me. It was like I screamed it out several times, but it's the truth. If you're a Christian for your sake, for you, you're in big trouble. You're already in trouble. There's no such thing as being a Christian for you. You're a Christian for his great name. When you're a Christian for you, how it's going for you is always your story, it's always your resume, and it's always your disposition. They're always connected. It can't be true or Jesus would have been a wreck. He told us to follow him. Come on, he wasn't appreciated. He was perfect. He was pure. He was always right. He was treated like he was wrong. He was put on a cross for doing everything perfect. He was stripped naked, hung there, beat beyond description for doing nothing wrong. Get real with me. He wasn't feeling sorry for himself. He wasn't hanging there saying, I can't believe these bunch of idiots don't see by now. You know, if they didn't see by now, they ain't never going to see. I don't even know why we love them, Lord. There's a analytical way of thinking, guys, that's the wisdom of the world. It's self-centered. It's carrying its cross to a degree, and then it analyzes, and at some point says, what am I doing? People don't appreciate me. If they were going to change by now, but they were going to change it to change by now. Come on, there would be Jesus dropping the cross, rethinking. Are you kidding me? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not taking another step. These people are knuckleheads. Come on, they just released Barabbas. Come on, that's the straw that broke my back. I can only take so much. You're asking me to do all this, but hey, I feel like I'm enabling now. I'm empowering their craziness, man. Barabbas, he kills a man. I raise the dead. He causes conspiracy. I'm trying to bring peace, and they want to kill me? These people are loco. I ain't having it, and if they hit me with another stick, I'm telling you. But a lamb to the slaughter, not a word. Except, Father, forgive them. They have no clue who they are. That's why he said they know not what they do. What he's saying is they are blind and deceived and they don't even know who they are. The reason I'm hanging here, I've known it from the beginning and we have not changed our mind. Whew. That's the power of the cross. And that's where you find the Father. And I'm just going to go on a little tangent right now. He ain't killing your kids, your spouses, and he ain't causing all the turmoil he gets blamed for. He's putting it all on his son so that you can come back to him through that son, not to have a better day, to have a brand new day. Not to get all your needs met, to get the real true cry of your heart fulfilled. Knowing who you are in him and knowing who he is in you. It's called born again. It's not a religious thing. It's not an ordinance. It's not a sect, a group of people. It's truth that's spiritual. What's born of flesh is flesh. What's born of spirit is spirit. It's the life of Christ coming back inside of someone through simple faith and the finished work of his cross. It's called born again. Yay. It's not praying a prayer to qualify one day when the bell rings. It's what we're taught all over this land. From the time we're little, that's all we hear. Pray a prayer to go to heaven. Pray a prayer to go to heaven. Well-meaning parents. Well, the devil saw that, or the devil did that to you, and you're listening to him. God saw that. You broke God's heart. Well, now you made God mad. I don't, you know, God's probably crying now because of you. Why do you always listen to the devil? And we think we're doing our kids good, And we're painting this weird picture of what it's not even like. Instead of teaching people, look, you're so much more than that. Look, I know before I was saved, my kids were little when I got saved. And I had already corrected them 1,000 times because of frustration. I'd already tried to set them straight. Why? Because we find our identity through our children. We believe our children reflect and reveal the impression of who we are. We're sure people are seeing us through our children. And we're under great pressure for our children to do what we're hoping. Come on, we've done it to Billy. Billy, get to your room. But Mom, but Dad, just get to your room. If I told you once, I told you 100 times. Just get to your room. What are you teaching Billy? Nothing. Other than he can violate you. When do you just sit Billy down and correct Billy because he's more than what he's doing, and it has nothing to do with he struck a nerve in you because you got new nerves? It's not because you're out of patience, because love is patient. It's not because, well, he got under my skin. No, I got brand new skin. See, we've treated our children that way. We've treated our relationships that way. We've done our spouses that way. We've done our pastors that way, leaders that way. And in time, when it gets really foggy, we do God that way. Because if he really loved me, then why didn't he? Well, how come he didn't answer? Well, I prayed and I prayed for 5 straight years. And all of a sudden your pain tells you you're sure you're right. And yet it's saying something about God that he never was. And because it's self-centered, self-focused, and creating all that stuff, you can tell by what it's producing, it cannot be the truth. The last thing you and I need is a justification to be something that he's not. While we were all yet sinners, ain't it amazing, guys? While we were all yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Why? Because he saw you more than ungodly. And even though you and I were very ungodly, some of us very, he saw you for more than that. And he said, I know who you're created to be. I know who you look like when I'm in you and you're surrendered, and it's worth paying the price. I'm just going to do this, trusting that one day you'll believe. You want to look over on this wall? This is really good, guys. Seek what? Not second, first. Not second. Seek first your well-being. Seek first the blessing of your finances. Seek first the stability of your home. Seek first the protection of your... Seek first the kingdom of God. You know what the kingdom of God is? The kingdom of God is the expression of the king. Really simple. The kingdom of God is an outraying, a functioning of the king. Kings were rated by the function of their kingdom through history. Am I telling the truth? So the kingdom of God is the expression of who he is. It's on the earth, and it's to be in us because we're his children and we're the body of Christ. So he said, hey, go preach saying the kingdom of God's here. Where is it? You're looking at it. Don't look here. Don't look there. For the kingdom of God is in you. See, Christianity is not a confession. It's an expression. It's a let your light so shine before men. It's not, well, I'm hurt. Well, I wish God. Well, I don't know when he's going to touch my boss because it's hard to work there. And if he don't change soon, then I need to get another job. No, I pray God keeps you there the rest of your life. Till you get a revelation, because if you run from that thing, it'll never change. And you'll find it the next place you go. And somebody else won't suit you. And somebody else will do you wrong. And somebody else will hurt your feelings. Well, maybe we ought to put them feelings on the altar of God. And maybe we ought to say, you know what? I think all these feelings are flowing through a twisted wellspring. I think there's self-centeredness in my life. I think I woke up this morning and it was more about me than it was about him. And I sang the right songs, but I'm not living from the right place. I think I'm being tricked and deceived. I need to look into the core of this thing. Time to surrender. And seek ye, not second, certainly not third, first the what? And his, oh, I'm so glad they put that line there in dot, 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 rest of verse. And his righteousness. What's that saying? Seek God, the way he pans out, functions, and manifests, and the way he sees you through his son. And all these things necessary to live out why you're here will always be available. That's what that scripture's saying, very simply put. You seek first his kingdom, the way he functions and where he lives from. You let that be your reality and your expression, so you're manifesting him and the way he sees you through his son, and you'll run this race worthy of a prize. You'll never look back, and you won't grow weary in well-doing. And life will never have the power to speak louder than truth. And truth will make you free. Make sense? You all good? This is why we're on the earth. It's why we're Christians. It's amazing. I feel done. I'm gonna quit early. Yeah, no, I am. I'll close my Bible and prove it. Like, that proves anything. I didn't read nothing out of it yet, so it doesn't prove a thing. I'm even gonna zip it in faith. <laughs> 25 minutes later, I'll be repenting. Sorry. No, I'm done. I feel done. Listen, this is, why don't we just start a new year? I said this morning, I noticed marquee sign. 2020, new year, new decade, new beginning. Why don't every one of us individually pursue to live from a healthier, more committed, intentional, understood wellspring than we ever lived from before? Instead of putting it on everybody else's life, why don't we take responsibility for our own? I said, there's a song this morning. I said about this song. I said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And everybody wanted to sing it. Right? They all started chiming. They sound like a choir. So I said, the way I've always been, have a stereotype in my life. Well, I've just always been this. I've been that way my whole life. Well, you might be surprised who you are in Christ. But there's a verse in that song that says, though none will follow, no one come with me, still I will follow. Though no one comes with me, I've made a decision where I'm living from. You might not know this, there was a time in my own family where it seemed like nobody wanted the Jesus that I knew. It wasn't their fault. It was just strategies, attacks, lies. It was crazy. They were young. My wife was in turmoil. Things were going. But there was a season, and it lasted for years, where it seemed like, and this voice would come to me and say, isn't that something? When you weren't a Christian, you walk in a room and they all ran from you. Now you're a Christian, walk in a room and they still run. What have you gained? Now see, if I don't understand what I'm preaching to you with passion, I'd let that hurt me. I'd have got angry at them. I'd have got hurt. I'd have held that over them like a truth flag. Well, there was a time I would this and that. And now I want to just love you, and I just want Jesus, and you want to run. And all of a sudden, in insecurity and despair and self-centeredness, I'd have been trying to compel them to be what I needed them to be. I wonder where that thought was coming from. I promise nobody owed me a thing. My joy isn't determined by you. There's just a joy in loving you because I see you through him. My life is determined by him. There ain't nobody on this earth I'll ever give the power again to decide who I am and how I am if he's the Lord. Now, I've pastored long enough to know this. Many people are letting one person in one situation decide who they are. And it becomes their thing, their story. And the unfortunate thing is that one thing isn't him. It's an individual or a person. And all of a sudden, you're making something Lord that never can be, but yet it is in your life. Lordship very simply means governing factor, ruling supreme being, governing factor, the ruling supreme factor of being over something. He's the Lord of your life. He determines who you are and how you are in the midst of it all. You can still believe for this, and you can still believe for that. But whether this is coming or going, and you wrap total faith around, this isn't compromised. Whether that's being answered right now or coming or going, it doesn't matter. Paul said, sometimes I have plenty, sometimes I don't have enough, but none of these things move me. Why? Because I get why I'm here and who I am. It's the most strongest, most solid place you can live. In this new year, 2020 coming up, new year, new decade, Let's make sure that last one really fits us, because there ain't nothing we can do about new year and decade. That's coming whether you want it or not. You learn they ain't stopping no time. You can't wait till you're 16, and then you can't wait till you're 18, and then you can't wait till you're 21. Now you're 25 going, what? And then you're 30 and freaking out, 40 looking all in the mirror, sucking it in. It's like when you're little, you're trying to get to an age and you can't get there quick enough and you think you'll never get there. And then you get past that age and you're like, whoa, and the train's moving, baby. Whoever saw, we ain't got no power over time ticking. New year, new decade, there ain't nothing you can do about that. That's coming. New beginnings has everything to do with you. And what you do with what you're hearing today and what you keep hearing in him is going to decide who you are and how you are and what it'll be like on that day. And the just shall live by faith. Can I pray with y'all? Okay, that wasn't too bad. I took 6 more minutes. I'm doing good. Let's just pray. And when I pray, I want you to make some kind of contact with the Lord. Like if you understood this message, if it spoke to your heart. I had a young girl come up to me this morning, very young girl, who's blessed my heart. I told her, people said a lot of gracious things, and I said, but honey, what you just said to me when I looked in your eyes and heard what you said with your heart, it's probably the most excited thing anybody said to me today. It hit me the hardest. And I was being honest. She said, you know, I'm so glad I came today. I came with my sister. She said, but I've been really praying, like I wanted to get it and this and that, and talking to, like, she's had this faith journey. And that's kind of how she opened up and introduced what she was trying to say to me. But she said, but I really, something clicked this morning. I'm really glad I was here, and I really got what you were saying. But I could hear it in her. I could see it in her. See, the lights come on, boy. Whew, he's all about light. Light exposes darkness. Man, if the kingdom of God is, if a man scatters seed, if you don't sow, nothing grows. So why am I so excited? Some sow, some water. God brings increase. So when she said that, I just know the best is yet to come. It's just the beginning for her, new beginning. Yeah. And because I care, and because I'm preaching this because I believe it, not because it's what I do. Hello? You'll see how I freak people out when I travel. I'll go to church. I'll go to small church. I'll say, you know, I'm not here for the offering, right? And then I'll get real strong. I feel like I need to do it some places I go, because we have this thing like I'm a traveling minister, and it's my way of living. I'm earning a living. Are you kidding me? I'm crying out of conviction. I don't go saying they owe me anything. So I don't take offerings so many places I go. I shut down the offering and won't let the pastor pass nothing. And just tell him, I'm here because I believe what I'm telling you, and you ain't giving me a penny. I told the pastor in a church recently, I've done it before, but I just told him recently, I said, if you try to mail me something to Neck Ministries, I will add to it and mail it back. And I said, we'll go back and forth. And when it gets up to a half a million, we'll see who's serious. I was just joking with him. But I would have mailed it back, because we get this idea. We've been touched by so many things that we get certain ideas, and then we lose the sharpness of the real truth. I'm not here to earn a living. I've never received an honorarium from Harvest Chapel. Out of my ministry account, I actually pay some of Harvest Chapel's mortgages through the year. You don't need to know that. I'm just telling you that. I have never received an honorarium from Harvest Chapel, but it's my home. They've been so good to me. They've covered me. I got my books here, my stuff here. It's a relationship. Nobody owes you a thing. And you owe no man anything but to love. You get what I'm saying? So why am I so passionate? Because I believe it. And I believe if you'll take some of what we're saying this morning and allow it to be the truth and foundation of your life, it'll create new beginnings. So when I pray, I don't want you to just listen religiously and let me lead it. I want you to make some kind of contact with God, and I'll pray my heart over you. But I want you to just make some kind of contact. Hey, I'm listening this morning. Yes, I want that in my life. Man, I'm getting this, Lord. Make some kind of contact, would you? Father, I just thank you for this house. I thank you for this time. I thank you for this honor. It's great honor. Some sow, some water. God gives the increase. Some people reap where they've never even sown. We all rejoice together. Why? Because we believe in what we're doing. And we believe this truth. So, Father, I pray this grace over this house, that this will be a year of a brand new beginning. Just deeper in love, deeper in clear, healthy motives. No turning back. And even if it seems like none is going with me, I'm following you, Jesus. Not with a hard heart. I'm not saying, well, I don't care what people think. No, no, no. I care who you are. And I want that truth to be relevant in my life. And I want people to see that truth in my life, no matter what. So empower us, Holy Spirit, to walk out this thing, to live in love, to stay encouraged, and to be what you paid for all the days of our life. And man, if we can wake up this way, go through the day and not change our mind and go to bed this way, surely we'll wake up that way again. Teach us, Lord, to steward our hearts, hold ourselves accountable to what we're convicted by, and let this new beginning be a reality in every single person in this room. And let this new beginning bring glory to your name. And man, I'm going to add to it just to make this pot a little sweeter. And let somebody along the way know you a little more because they saw who you were in our actions. God, I'm asking in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick before I'm totally done. If you're sick in your body in any way, we're not calling you up here. I'm going to do this in like 30 seconds. Don't think it's religious. I promise you it's not. The last place I was at, it would take me a while to tell you the things that happened in one moment of time that unfolded through the week. We watched a man that was tormented in his sleep for 20 years. He slept all weekend like out cold. Just, it's never happened to him in 20 years. We saw bodies change in 30 seconds. We had people testify that after 24 hours, they came out and said, oh my goodness, that thing has, it's completely gone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why? One simple reason. People say, well, it's the anointing you carry, brother. They're under the umbrella of your gifting. Stop. If that's the truth, if that's the whole truth of the room, then we're only limited to where certain people are in giftings. We need to grow bigger than that. It's called the body of Christ stepping out in sincere moments of love, just simply believing the finished work and saying amen. That's what it is. I promise you, he likes it when we believe it. So if you're sick in body in any way and you need healing in your body and you're living in some less than wholeness, just where you're sitting, raise your hand high so we can see you. Just raise your hand high. Keep it up. Somebody sitting behind them. You can cross the row if they're out on an aisle. Somebody move around. Get to everybody that has a hand up. Please, quick, just get to everybody. This is not religious, I promise. These little moments are so fruitful. I'm traveling all over the place, man. And I'm having the time of my life with this. I'm watching people. It's just beautiful. We were in one of these settings just a couple little while back, and this lady in the back, little shrill voice was going, crying, going, I can see. I can see. She was legally blind. She could see everything. 30-second prayer. And she's back here. She's, I can see. I can see. Oh, it just shuddered you, man. All your hair stood up. It was like, oh. Y'all ready? If you're ready, get somebody that has their hand up. Make sure nobody's alone. Grab somebody. Now, here's what I want you to do. If you're raising your hand, just believe he loves you or he'd have never sent his son. I want you to stay that simple. He loves me or he'd have never sent his son. Don't say, well, if he loved me, then why am I going through this in the first place? Stop. You do not need a line of questioning that questions his love when you're to be rooted and grounded in love, established in love, and faith works through love. So here's the deal. You believe he loves you right now or he'd have never sent his son. The people praying, here's all I want you to do. Just say something simple like this, be whole in Jesus' name, because you believe the finished work is enough, because Jesus is enough. Pray it over him right now, be whole in Jesus' name. You don't have to know what's wrong. Don't even ask him. It's just, God is a healing God. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Just command that over them. Father, I thank you for holding us all through this room. I thank you that you touch and change bodies in this 30-second moment of time because of the finished work of Christ, because of who you are, because you are great and mighty God. And we just believe you. We just believe you. And we just say thank you for your goodness. Be healed in this room and be made whole in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you conditions are changed. I thank you symptoms go. I thank you in the next 24 hours, people are going to walk things out and say, my goodness, that did completely change. I thank you testimonies come out of this little moment of time. You're that good in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Pastor Dave, I think I'm finished. I don't know when I'll be back up on this platform again here at this house, but it was an honor this morning. Thanks for coming. We love you. Let's let this be a year of new beginning. Amen? Amen. God bless you.